So you've got all these federal student loans sitting around, and one month it dawns on you, maybe it's not such a bad idea to settle these things. I mean, they settle credit card debts all the time, don't they? Medical debts, credit card debts, these things get bought and sold, and well, maybe, just maybe, there's a chance that you can settle your federal student loans. So you think about it, and you do some quick back-of-the-napkin calculations, and you figure, well, all right, I can come up with 20-25% of the balance due. I should do this. This makes a lot of sense. But does it? That's the idea that millions of federal student loan borrowers come up with every single year. I hear from dozens of them every month in my office, and they call in asking the same questions about settling their federal student loans. How can they do it? Can I help them? How much is it going to cost? And what kind of deal can they really get? Well, today on the Student Loan Show, we're going to talk about settling your federal student loans. What's the reality? How does it work? And is it a good idea for you? I'm student loan lawyer Jay Fleischman, and you're listening to the Student Loan Show. Welcome back to the Student Loan Show. My name is Jay Fleischman. I am a student loan lawyer practicing in New York as well as in California. And today we're going to talk about a subject that comes up at least a couple of dozen times every month here in my practice. People coming to me with federal student loans and asking if they can settle them. So here's the thing. We all know that credit card debts get bought and sold, and companies that buy credit card debts spend a lot less money than the face value. And we also know that a lot of these past due credit card debts and past due medical debts as well can be settled for pennies on the dollar, or at least that's the term that people use. You know, if you watch TV or you read the papers or go online, everybody's talking about settling for pennies on the dollar. So it only stands to reason that you can do the same thing with federal student loans as well. Unfortunately, it's not necessarily the case, at least not the way that you think about it. You can settle your federal student loan debt for less than the full value. Question is, what kind of a deal can you get? So let's talk about this. If you're in default on your student loans, the U.S. Department of Education explicitly allows debt collectors to settle the debt. But that's only if you're in default. If you're current on your federal student loans, you're not going to settle the debt. Default occurs when you are more than 270 days past due. So you miss a payment, you become delinquent. After 270 days, give or take a day on either side, you go into default. That's when you're in default, and that's when, theoretically at least, you should be able to settle your federal student loans. But bear in mind, the federal government has other ways of getting money from you through enforcement mechanisms like administrative wage garnishment, tax refund offset, liens and lawsuits and judgments. And so you've got to realize that if the federal government can get their money from you faster by going through one of these enforcement mechanisms, well, that's the way they're going to go. But settlement opportunities do exist. In federal student loan terminology, they're not called settlements, they're called compromises. And compromises involve a reduced overall payment to satisfy the federal student loan debt in full. Compromises are never going to be offered as the first option in any collection negotiation. and debt collectors are instructed to discuss it as an option only after exhausting any other negotiation opportunities. Opportunities like rehabilitation, opportunities like consolidation under the direct loan program, opportunities like making voluntary payments to the debt collector, or doing the administrative wage garnishment, or the tax refund offset, or the property lien, things like that. It's only once you've gone through all of that stuff that a debt collector is going to be allowed to talk to you about it. Now, that's not saying that you can't talk to them about it. I'm just saying that them talking to you about it. And the U.S. Department of Education has three types of compromises. You've got your standard compromise, which is as follows. Three options for standard compromise. You pay only the current principal and interest with a waiver of any projected collection costs and fees. So essentially, you're paying the full balance due today, no collection costs. Your second option as a standard compromise is where you pay the current principal and at least half of the outstanding interest. Before you think that that's a great deal, remember interest capitalizes on most federal student loans, which means that the interest that's accrued becomes part of the principal. So for the most part, you've got very little interest sitting out there. But that's your second option, current principal and half of the interest. And your third option under a standard compromise is paying at least 90% of the current principal and interest balance overall. Now, typically, that 90% is going to result in the greatest reduction. As you can tell, there's not that great of a deal. I mean, you're going to save 10% off the top. Only after you're in default, only after your credit's screwed up, only after you've been in a non-payment situation for a significant amount of time. That's your standard compromise. Your second option is a discretionary compromise. A discretionary compromise involves a payment of less than the standard compromise amount, and it's got to have prior approval by the U.S. Department of Education, so the collection agency isn't going to agree to a discretionary compromise without some backup documentation. Really, what you're looking at here is a financial situation that may not render you totally and permanently disabled, but may limit your ability to make payments based on some outside factors. You've gone through a massive loss of some sort, or something's going on. You're not 100% totally and permanently disabled, but there is a really, really, really good reason with backup documentation regarding this discretionary compromise. The collection agency is going to ask you for a lot of backup documentation, but that's your discretionary compromise. And your third is your non-standard compromise. This is a compromise that's only offered to a really limited number of student loan borrowers, and always with the approval of the U.S. Department of Education. It's got to be something way out there. You've got very little money. You've got no way of ever paying them. They can sue you, take judgments. They can do anything that they want, but they're never going to get money from you. Yeah, maybe you can look at a non-standard compromise. Very, very limited number of people get these non-standard compromises. And in fact, a fairly limited number of people get discretionary compromises either. Let's say you get that settlement approved. You're going to have to pay it by certified funds or by credit card. No personal checks. So it's a cashier's check, a money order, certified personal check, but not a regular personal check. And all settlement offers are valid for 90 days from the date of approval. And if you're going to be making payment after the 90-day deadline, the collection agency is going to need to get approval from the U.S. Department of Education for that. In other words, if you're going to settle a federal student loan debt, this is cash at the door. We're not talking about payment plans. We're not talking about getting a better deal. We're talking about, here's your number. You offer. they accept pay us now. Certified funds, credit card, 90-day window. Yeah, maybe you can get a standard compromise. Maybe you can knock that 10% off the principal and interest. Do you have the money for it? If you don't have the money for it, don't bother trying to settle it. Because if you don't have the money and you're not going to have it within 90 days, it ain't going to happen. Don't call the debt collector and figure that you can borrow the money from your family or a friend or take it out of your retirement account. If you don't know for sure that you're going to be able to get that money, don't bother. You're wasting your time. And beyond that, let's say you get your compromise, you get the payment, you're good, right? Well, no, wait. Because when you settle the debt, you get a tax form in the mail at the end of the year. It's a form 1099, cancellation of debt income. The amount of money that you saved, it's just like income. And you may have to pay taxes on it. Let's say you knock off $30,000 from your federal student loan debt. You get your compromise, you knock 30 grand off of it. You got the money, you send it in, you're within 90 days, you're home free, you're thrilled. At the end of the year, you get a tax form for $30,000. Now, there are situations where you may not need to pay taxes on it. There are some exceptions to the rule. So you may not need to pay taxes. You want to take a look at that. You want to talk to your tax professional. In this case, I think you really want to go for the CPA. Don't go for the H&R Block or the TurboTax option. Go shell out money for the CPA. See if there's a way to avoid having to pay taxes on it. The exemption form is IRS Form 982. You may want to take a look at that. It's freely available on the IRS site. Take a look at that. And really, if you're thinking about settling the debt or doing this compromise, ideally, you want to sit down and talk to a tax professional before you do it. Because if you're going to have to pay taxes on that settled amount, then you want to know how much those taxes are going to be, and you want to factor those in. Because it really stinks getting, say, 30 grand off of your federal student loan debt, if that's your standard compromise amount, getting 30 grand off, only to realize that you've got to pay taxes on that 30 grand. That's a lot of money. So bear that in mind. So last question is, so who do I go to? I've got a federal student loan. Who do I go to? Do I call one of these credit counselors or debt settlement operation? Or do I call a lawyer? Or do I do it myself? Do I do that for myself? Okay, so here's the thing. You don't want to call a debt settlement company. You don't want to call a credit counselor. The first thing you want to do is you want to take a look at the settlement options, the compromise options, look at the standard compromise first. Look at the standardized compromise first and ask yourself if you've got a way to pay that compromise. It's your first question. And if you do, then call the debt collector yourself. It's a standard compromise. Call the debt collector and say, look, I'm in default. I haven't made payments on my student loans in 5 years. You haven't gotten a dime out of me. I owe you X amount of money. I'm willing to compromise this. I'll cut you a check today or within the 90 days. I'll cut you a check for the amount of money that I owe. Here's the compromise amount. It's standard. If it's a standard compromise and you can pay it, do that. Do that. Why would you pay anybody to handle this for you? I have no idea. Well, I do know. I've got clients who have hired me and paid me money to do a standard compromise because they're too freaked out to call the debt collector. I get that. And there's a value to that, I suppose. But beyond that, there's really no value. It's a standard compromise. It's in the federal regulations. If you're in default, haven't made payments for a number of years, they haven't gotten a dime out of you otherwise, that's your option. So do that. If, however, you can't do that and you really think that you've got an extenuating circumstance that makes a discretionary or even a non-standard compromise make sense, if you've got some facts that you think makes for a really excellent argument to compromise these federal student loans in a discretionary or a non-standard way, you want to call a student loan lawyer. You do, because a lawyer who does this sort of stuff understands the regulations, understands what the debt collector is looking for, and is going to be able to tell you at the consultation and analysis level whether or not it's worth your effort and money to even try this thing out. Because for the most part, it's not going to be. So why waste a lot of your time, a lot of your money, a lot of your energy and headache on something that's not going to be successful? Also, a lawyer that knows about student loans is going to also be able to take a look at some of the other options that may be available to you. You know, maybe you can rehab the loan at $50 a month, 9 payments of $50 a month, and then maybe you'd look at an income-based repayment. Maybe your income-based repayment's going to be low enough. And even if you've got the money for the compromise, you may not want to cut that big check. It may make more sense to you to go into an income-based repayment plan for 25 years or 20 years if you're one of the newer borrowers and qualify for that. Go in for 25 years. Maybe your payments are $0. Maybe they're $5. Maybe they're so minimal that it doesn't have any impact on you. Maybe you put yourself into that IBR program and you kick the can for 25 years because maybe you've got assets and a financial balance sheet that even if you do settle the debt, you're going to have to pay taxes. And maybe that reduces the benefit of that compromise in the first place. So maybe what you do is you go into an IBR plan, you pay a modest amount or even $0 a month, and you kick that can 25 or even 20 years down the road, and maybe your financial position is expected to be different enough at that point that any settlement income that arises from the discharge at the end of the 25 years, because at the end of 25 years, any unpaid balance is discharged, but there may be a tax liability then. Maybe there isn't going to be a tax liability based upon some smart planning or based upon what you think your financial position is going to be at that time. Maybe a settlement doesn't make sense, and a lawyer is going to be able to do that analysis for you. And so even if you can settle, you may not want to. So that's the two reasons to sit down with a lawyer and get your situation analyzed, right? Either A, the settlement doesn't make sense because it's never going to happen based on your facts and circumstances, or B, maybe there's another way to accomplish the goal, because the goal is always going to be get the student loan off my back. I've got this albatross hanging around my neck of a student loan, and I just want to get it resolved. So maybe there are other resolutions. Who knows? Maybe your financial position is bad enough or difficult enough that you qualify for a total and permanent disability discharge in total instead of doing a settlement. Maybe you can get a discharge. You never know, right? So settlement exists, sure, but it's really limited. I mean, we've outlined this. This is really, really limited stuff. So it doesn't work for very many people. In addition, there are other ways to accomplish the same goal. And so you should look at all of those choices so that you can make a well-informed decision before you commit to any course of action. And so that's the nuts and bolts of federal student loan settlement. You've been listening to The Student Loan Show. You can find show notes for today's show, as well as all other past shows, over at studentloanshow.com. You can also check us out on iTunes. You can give us a star rating and a review. That'd be really helpful. More of those star ratings and reviews helps us show up more prominently in the iTunes search engines. If you have any questions for me, you can also go to studentloanshow.com. There is a form on the right side of the page. Send me a question. Happy to answer it either privately or on the show. Depends upon whatever you'd like to have happen. Again, my name is Jay Fleischman. I'll see you back here next Tuesday.